walks like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animal, talking animal. Talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animals, talking animal.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest today is Carter Dillard, co-founder of 4 Feet Forward, a collective of attorneys, communication specialists, graphic designers, accountants who offer their services and expertise pro bono to help grassroots animal advocacy organizations with their various needs. These consultants volunteer their time and effort, projecting a kindness and generosity of spirit that often characterizes animal welfare work, and help smaller organizations with limited resources implement their own agendas to advocate for animals, further radiating that kindness and generosity of spirit. We'll learn more about 4 Feet Forward when we speak with Carter Dillard in a few moments here on Talking Animals. Meanwhile, I'd like to remind you the WNRF Summer Membership Drive starts next week, and 1 week from today, July 9th, I'll be raising money for the station on Talking Animals. I've been assigned a fundraising goal of $2,500 in less than an hour. May I just say yikes? So it's absolutely critical to raise some of that money before the 9th. If you like the show, if you value what we do here each Wednesday morning, I hope you'll consider making an early pledge, either by emailing me at duncan@wmnf.org or donating to the Talking Animals tip jar. You can find the link to the tip jar on my personal Facebook page or the Talking Animals Facebook page. Just put that up just moments ago. And as always, there will be some exclusive Talking Animals premiums or thank you gifts to thank folks who donate at various levels, including a pair of killer tickets to see Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers September 21st at the Tampa Bay Times Forum. Hold these seats are one section away from the stage. A pair of similarly awesome tickets to the opening show of the Funny or Die Oddball Festival, featuring a slew of the best comedians today, including Louis C.K., Mark Maron, Aziz Ansari, and Chris Hardwick at Tampa's Mid-Florida Credit Union Amphitheater on August 8th. Also a week stay at the condo in Kauai at just about half the going rate. Family just had an amazing stint in that condo and on Kauai. Can get a sampling of that, see a bunch of photos on my personal Facebook page. Also offer for a pledge of $80 a copy of the new fabulous special Talking Animals Anniversary Bash CD, a live recording of the special broadcast last June in which several top local musicians, including Rebecca Pulley, Ronnie Elliott, Judy Tampa, Gracie Grishup, and WMF's own Scott Elliott, sang animal songs, told Shaggy Dog stories, enjoyed some animal comedy from Jim Gaffigan, and more in last year's celebration of the show's 10th anniversary, and we're now at the 11-year mark. Anyway, you can see the spiffy CD cover and find out more about this CD and all our exclusive thank you gifts by heading to talkinganimals.net. In fact, let's check out a sample from the Talking Animals Anniversary Bash CD by way of hearing an animal song as performed in that celebration that morning by Ronnie Elliott. Poignant number that touches on a lot of things. And speaking of Ronnie and celebrations, I want to mention that Ronnie will celebrate his first 50 years in rock and roll this Friday, July 5th at Skipper's with Ronnie and the Nationals, Chinese Mary Jane, and Steve Conley. Going to be an amazing, amazing show. Meanwhile, here's Ronnie from the Anniversary Bash with One Monkey Don't Stop No Show on Talking Animals.
One monkey don't stop no show. One monkey don't stop no show. You know, I haven't been doing too well lately, and I got an email from my pal Chuck Prophet, San Francisco, California. He said, "Hey, Ronnie, maybe you ought to think about ditching that so-called career in Tampa, getting out here to San Francisco. We got some music. We got some women treat you good. They don't ignore you. Enough men to go around for some of these women out here. I know what you're putting up with there. I think you could have a good time here. I think you could get up and take care of yourself and make some music, make some love, and have a good time. You know, things don't happen that way all the time. 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 Sometimes I feel sorry for myself, though. I look around and my dog doesn't say anything. My cat doesn't talk. I get a lot of advice and a lot of wisdom, though, from the looks I get from them. Jamaica thinks, you know, I came from the Humane Society here. This is my home. I guess she's got a point. An angel. I borrowed a live trap from my veterinarian, and I trapped her behind the racetrack gas station over on Gandy, just on the other side of the bridge. So this is kind of home for Angel, too. She had her three kittens here. And I start to think about San Francisco, and I start to think about Austin, Texas, and I start to think about the other places that I care about, and I think, well, this is my home, too. I can't leave Tampa. If I knew someplace better, I'd go there. I'd already be living there. I don't think I'd be any more successful in the music business or the romance department in San Francisco than I am in Tampa. I have all of these beautiful friends here, and I have this wonderful radio station. Yeah, this is home.
One monkey don't stop no show. One monkey don't stop no show.
Come on down, man.
One monkey don't stop no show. One monkey don't stop no show.
I'm home, baby. And one monkey has never stopped any show.
That was indeed Ronnie Elliott with One Monkey Don't Stop No Show, one of 11 tracks featured on the Talking Animals 10th Anniversary CD, which you can be the proud owner of right now for a pledge of $80. You can email me at duncan@wmnf.org to make that pledge, or you can donate $80 to the Talking Animals tip jar and indicate you'd like the CD. Let's move now into our chat with Carter from 4 Feet Forward. With a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org or texting us at 813-433-0885. Let's welcome Carter Dillard to Talking Animals. Good morning, Carter.
Morning, Duncan.
Thanks for joining us on Talking Animals.
My pleasure.
I absolutely love 4 Feet Forward and this whole sort of guiding principle behind it. But before we explore how it all works, let's discuss how it got started. Take us back, if you will, to 2003 and sort of set the scene for us.
Well, at the time, my sister and I, Courtney Dillard, were in the middle of our professional careers. Courtney was doing consulting on media projects. She has a background in rhetoric and communications, and I was doing legal work, actually, for the federal government as a litigator. And we both were committed to the animal protection movement, but hadn't found a way to apply our professional skills. And we realized at the time that there were lots of small animal protection organizations that could benefit from professional skills, like lawyer skills, media skills, accountant skills, fundraising skills. And there were lots of professionals that wanted to lend their time to help animals and small animal protection groups, but there was no real interface between the professional world and the animal protection world in a way where professionals could easily lend their time to the groups. So we decided to formalize the connection and create an organization, the mission of which was to connect professionals so that they could volunteer for small animal protection organizations. So it really, it came out of my sister and I and our desire to use our skills to help small animal protection groups, and then working with lots of people that are now doing all the work at the organization to build the capacity to ensure that lots of volunteers everywhere could lend their time.
Well, we'll definitely delve into that more in a moment. But back when this all was sort of launched, you know, was it sort of common for you and your sister to sort of work on projects together, or at least brainstorm on them, or is this sort of a more of a singular situation?
We were finding different ways to help. So we'd been in touch with a couple different groups, but there was no one way to look for small animal protection groups that didn't have a lawyer, didn't have an accountant, didn't have fundraisers, and provide our services to them. And we also realized that in our professional circles, when we said, look, there's a small group out there, they would love a lawyer to help them litigate this case, the professionals got very excited, because I think people realized that they helping animals is a special kind of work that a lot of people want to do, but don't know how to do it. So I think in our case, we've done a few, she and I have done a few cases of professional assistance here or there, but hadn't found a way to reach out to sort of all the groups. And that was back in, I think, around, as you said, 2003.
And are there other other Dillard siblings?
Nope, it's just my sister and I. We sort of started out with good friend Adam Sigalski, and the organization has grown since then.
I guess one of the key questions at this point is, tell me about how the name 4 Feet Forward came about.
Well, I mean, I think the four is obviously a reference to animals, mm-hmm. and the 4 feet. And Forward, the concept was an organization that was to move small groups forward. And even if it's moving a small group, say you have a handful of people that want to get circuses out of their community, even if you move those groups just 4 feet forward, just a little bit forward, it's still progress. And eventually you get to the goal. And so the idea was small progress for small organizations with a little bit of a play on our four-legged friends.
Since radio is sorely lacking the visual element, can you just briefly describe the 4 feet Forward logo, which is, I think, really cool and kind of striking?
Sure. It's a diamond. Really, it's a diamond made up of four diamonds. And each of the diamonds has an imprint of a different animal's track. So there are birds, there's an ungulate or a deer, and there's also a human footprint along with a dog. So it symbolizes the unity, really, between humans and non-humans, the interconnected nature of our relationship. And that was designed by Adam Sigalski, who's the designer for 4 Feet Forward.
And okay, because that was one of my next questions was, because again, the logo is really, really cool. And
thanks, Tony.
And so I was going to ask if the logo was designed by someone who now serves as a 4 Feet Forward consultant. So in other words, an organization could possibly get their logo designed by Adam.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. That's Adam was one of the sort of founding members and has done design work, including logo work, for several organizations since then, and is available to help any organization that comes to us to create what I think is a great logo.
So once the organization was launched, can you describe some of the initial projects or groups that you helped and in what ways they were helped?
Sure. I think the best summary, if listeners wanted to get more information, is at 4feetforward.org. And the link on the homepage to our work details some of it. But some of our initial projects, really, we spent a lot of time working with In Defense of Animals. We worked on an ordinance regarding research in San Francisco. We worked on messaging for Mercy for Animals website. We also developed outreach for sort of messaging and vegan outreach material for Viva, if you remember Viva.
Yeah.
And we also, in 2003, 2004, initially in our individual capacity, and I ended up working for them full time, worked with Compassion Over Killing on a false advertising legal matter. So it was span the gamut of message development, design work, legal assistance, and those are pretty exemplary.
And are there two or three, or the first few years, maybe even overall, that just stand out in your mind because of the PAC, the project that 4 Feet Forward helped the organization with, had on that organization, or on a broader scale, maybe had a significant impact as a result of that sort of consulting relationship on a larger number of animals when the project was completed? In other words, projects you're sort of particularly proud of that you would point to as being really significant. I'm sure they all are in one way or another, but ones that maybe stand out in your mind since you were one of the founders.
Yeah, I mean, one of our principles, Duncan, is that the work is really what we do, essentially, is we try to marry consultants with clients. So the clients being small animal protection organizations, the consultants being professionals. And one of our principles is that we help make the connection, but the real work is done by the client. And so I think some of the most impactful early projects, the credit really goes to the client. And so Compassion Over Killing succeeded in getting virtually every egg carton in the country. The advertising changed because it was suggesting a higher level of welfare than was actually the case. The organization Maryland Votes for Animals, 4 Feet Forward, helped them incorporate. But all of their great work is really, they get the credit for that. Any number of the projects that we do, Animal Protection League of New Jersey helping create a brochure for them that they found to be very successful. The credit really goes to the Animal Protection League of New Jersey. These are the grassroots of the animal protection movement, and with a little bit of assistance, they can turn their initiative and drive into great successes, and the credit really goes to them.
In the decade plus that the 4 Feet Forward has existed, have you seen sort of a change revolution in terms of what sorts of services you're offering and or, you know, what sorts of services the organizations are seeking most often these days?
Yes, for sure. I mean, we initially started out because it was originally Courtney and I just thinking that we'd offer legal services. If a small organization had a great lawsuit but didn't have the lawyers to file it, or they wanted to design messaging for their website but they didn't know how to do a survey or a focus group, we thought that we would help them with that. But what we realized is small groups have the needs for volunteers in any given number of professions. And so it's expanded to design work, Adam's work, as well as nonprofit consulting, so setting up a 501c3. We have ventured into accounting, try to find volunteer accountants to help people keep their books. And we've even ventured into fundraising, so trying to find volunteer grant writers to help small organizations. So I think any number of professions can benefit small animal protection organizations, and there are people in those fields that want to do the work.
I want to get into maybe kind of a specific example in a moment. Let me just let folks know this is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, my guest is Carter Dillard, co-founder of 4 Feet Forward, a collective of attorneys, accountants, graphic designers, others who offer their services pro bono to help grassroots animal organizations. If you'd like to ask Carter a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663, email dj@WMNF.org, or you can text 813-433-0885. So let's get in. Like, here we are, July 2014. Let's really sort of find out a little bit more how things actually work. So let's say Talking Animals is a relatively new animal organization that does want to obtain 501c3 status and seeks 4 Feet Forward's help in pursuing that. Walk me through the process. How do I apply? What do I need to do first or provide first to even sort of get that started?
Well, the easiest thing to do is just get in touch with us through our website at 4feetforward.org. And usually one of our project managers, Rietvel, who's done countless hours lining up consultants with clients, or our executive director, Elizabeth Custolo, will put the project in queue. So we generally assign on a first-come, first-served basis, and we'll look for professionals, either anew, so we'll look try to recruit professionals we haven't worked for, if we can't fill the organization's need, or we may work with someone who's sort of part of the steady group of consultants that we work with that are already affiliated with the organization. And it's really as easy as filling out a pretty simple questionnaire and waiting to be hooked up with a consultant. And hopefully that usually will happen in at least, I'd say no more than a month or two. We usually can create a connection, and then we monitor the connection. We assist with any questions. We can help resolve any difficulties, if there are any, and basically keep both parties on track to create whatever concrete project they agreed to when the relationship was formed.
Is there any sort of screening or vetting process? Again, people contact Loretta, Elizabeth, whoever. Again, as you say, it's first come, first serve. But apart from that, someone says, hey, this is what I need and I need your help, assuming it's their turn in line or whatever. Yeah. Does that pretty much happen, or is it pretty straightforward in that regard? Or is there any sort of thing where anybody says, well, you know, tell us who you are or what you're up to? Or
sure. No, part of the questionnaire involves identifying everything about the new organization or the new organization that you hope to found, and about the people that are involved and about the project that the organization wants to initiate. So part of this involves knowing that you want to do something and having a pretty specific idea of what it is you want to do. That really is a prerequisite for seeking a professional, because you have to have a vision for a very specific project, ideally with a goal, something you can measure. And then we can assign it out pretty easily. We have a principle at 4B Forward where we try not to second guess small animal protection organizations. So if they think that the project is worthwhile, it's going to help animals, we generally defer to them. We have confidence. And the fact is, none of us can really predict what the most effective way to advocate for animals are. So we trust these organizations, and we, outside of a few boundaries, like not supporting organizations that engage in violence or that are breaking the law outside of the context of civil disobedience, other than that, we defer to those organizations, and we try to do it on a first-come, first-served basis. If projects have not been matched with consultants, it's usually because we just couldn't find the right person to staff the job.
Okay, so that does, was one of my other questions. If that does happen, it sounds like now and again that does happen. And to what extent, I know kind of seems like sort of the mission as it's outlined on the website, which again is 4feetforward.org, seems to emphasize grassroots organizations, yet some of the examples of work that you've done are with groups, I would at least say, and maybe this was not as much the case when you helped them, but are certainly larger and more established groups. So beyond the sort of ground rules that you mentioned about not using violence and staying within the law, et cetera, you know, how elastic are the standards for what kind of group and what that group does? I mean, in other words, does it strictly speaking need to be an advocacy group or even a grassroots group, or are there some situations where you would still help a group that didn't necessarily fit squarely into those?
You make a great point, Duncan. Yes, there are groups on the list, like In Defense of Animals, that would be considered national organizations and have, you know, budgets upwards of several million dollars. And so those, there are two reasons you see us working with groups like those. It actually has been difficult to get our offer out to the grassroots. It's not easy to track these small organizations. There's no really one good database of these organizations. So getting in touch with them hasn't been easy. And we made the decision that if we had volunteers that were available to offer their services, we would make sure to staff them even with larger groups while we were waiting to try to get in touch with grassroots organizations. The second reason is that we may have thought that particular projects would that these larger organizations wanted to do would really fit well with some of the professionals that wanted to work with us and would solidify those relationships. Because as you know, one of the ways to lose volunteer professionals is to not give them any work. So
yeah,
we thought it was more important that they start working. And we thought it's more important that we'd be doing work if we're having trouble getting in touch with grassroots organizations. But that said, our belief is that the animal protection movement will benefit from lots of minds. And that there are a lot of people out there that have a lot of great ideas but can't implement those ideas without some professional assistance. And so our goal and our priority is to help the smallest that don't have access to those resources. And thanks to your kindness in putting us on the show, I think we're getting the word out more and more every year to the grassroots that we can we can at least try to help them find professionals to make their projects.
One of the points you raised there is something I was kind of wondering about is you know, even now, 10 years or so in, do you find that there are still a lot of pockets of groups that aren't aware of 4 Feet Forward?
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's our, in a way, because our organization simply connects consultants to clients. We ourselves don't really have a budget. And so that has meant that we haven't had a marketing campaign to really get 4 Feet Forward's offer out to the grassroots and to the general public. But again, under the hard work of Marita and Elizabeth, that's changing, and I think the word is getting out. And if you look at comparable organizations like Volunteer Professionals for the Arts, other areas of philanthropy and altruism where professionals are being aligned with organizations, I think there's great capacity for growth. And I think I'm hoping in the next 10 years that we will be able to become a go-to for small organizations that just need a little professional help to get to what they want to do.
The thing is, it seems like, yeah, it's interesting because, again, you have these really clearly accomplished people that have volunteered their services. And so up until they said the thing about sort of the budget constraints, I couldn't quite reconcile how people that were sort of hotshots in their field, including a lot of these communication specialists that have offered their services, why 4 Feet Forward was a little bit under the radar, or at least in certain circles. I mean, I was really shocked to learn it had been around 10 years. And I was at this conference in Washington, D.C., and I stopped and started talking with Summer there. And I was like some dopey guy, because the more things she said, I said, what? So you do this, and then you help the group this way, and it doesn't cost them anything? And I mean, it was like, yes, that's what I'm saying. I mean, because I was just incredulous. It just seemed like the greatest thing, again, for small groups that don't have the kind of resources, are often struggling in all kinds of ways. And it just seemed like this sort of magical thing. And just even since I've started promoting the show with only in the last 24 hours or less, probably, I mean, people seem to be nuts about it. Like, wow, this is the coolest. How come I didn't know about this? You know, how can I get in touch with them? How can I volunteer my own services? So anyway, I mean, I guess that's all by way of saying it is something quite extraordinary. And I guess as people do hear about it, they probably have the similar reaction to I do, which is like, oh my God, this is fantastic.
Well, I really appreciate your reaction. And that was our view of it. And I will say there's a little bit of a silver lining to the cloud of having remained a little under the radar. And that was until more recently, we had, you know, a handful, really 4 or 5 people working as volunteers outside of their everyday jobs for the organization. So I will say that if we'd had a deluge of requests for assistance from dozens of animal protection groups, we probably wouldn't have been able to fill those needs very well. So in a way, I think the slow growth has been helpful, but I think it's time to really get the word out there, because there are professionals at law firms, at media firms, accounting firms, that would love to be able to be part of, I think, what most people recognize as the next big progressive movement for the century.
Well, that's the thing. And I would think as people hear about this and learn about this, there would be a, you know, sort of a deluge of people saying, oh my God, yeah, I need help with my 501c3 status, or really need some sort of help with this campaign that we're... So, but yeah, it sounds like it's just probably a good fit in terms of the way 4 Feet Forward has kind of come together and evolved, with the word sort of seeping out, but not no one sort of being offset in that sort of relationship. So, okay, again, this is Talking Animals. My guest is Carter Dillard, co-founder of 4 Feet Forward. We invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing dj@wmnf.org, or you can text us at 813-433-0885. And along those lines, we have one of our emailers says, thank you for your work. Can you tell me how many organizations you work with, and also do you have any pets?
I have one cat who's a blind cat, actually, from New Orleans. She's a tortoise shell, and she's looking at me right now wondering why I'm on the phone instead of petting her, which I guess is what most cats are usually thinking.
Tell her I apologize.
That's okay. I will.
Thank you.
It's very understanding. And I think, yeah, I'm 90% sure that everyone working with 4 Feet Forward has a companion animal. And I'm just looking at the spreadsheet. So there are dozens of projects that we have worked on and are currently involved in. So I'd say upwards of 60 or so projects, either completed or pending. And that's really how we organize our work, is we have a small group identify a project that needs to be filled. So a small organization might say, typical example would be a rescue organization might say, state law requires our animal shelter to allow us to come in and pull animals out for our rescue. But the shelter director's not been allowing us access. We want to talk to a lawyer. And typical project would be that lawyer would agree to assist the organization to get access. It may start with a letter advising the shelter director that the group ought to have access and then evolve into full-blown litigation if it need be. So that's a typical example of how it would go. But I would say dozens of projects, and that will continue to increase.
So that, in a way, kind of brings me back to another question, just to extend my sort of hypothetical. So coming back to my example that of my quote-unquote organization that I was seeking help with 501c3 status. So let's say you guys help me with that, and when that's done, or maybe even before that's done, I say, hey, I noticed you do all this other cool design stuff. I could really use a new website. Can you help me with that too? I mean, I know you mentioned earlier that it's sort of first come, first serve, but do people sort of need to, you know, just sort of take turns and or at least take some time between receiving one set of 4 feet forward services and being able to receive yet another set?
Yes. I mean, so the organization would then create another project request, and that would go in back in the queue, so to speak. And it is, the idea, obviously, would be to avoid the organization creating permanent professional volunteer assistance for a handful of organizations, because the real idea behind 4 Feet Forward is that all of the animal protection minded people out there, everyone that wants to help animals, they have good ideas about how to do that, and they need to bring those ideas to professionals that can help them implement those ideas. So we want to appeal to as many small organizations and people that want to become organizations out there as we can to foster the growth of those ideas, rather than beginning to become attached to one or two organizations. And
no, it seems totally reasonable. Yeah. I would just think this almost seems like some sort of a cool Christmas morning thing. So I think it'd be tempting for organizations, if that sort of structure wasn't in place, to just sort of knock on your door multiple times or repeatedly and just say, oh, God, by the way, you guys were so awesome with this, I really could use help with that. But yeah, sounds like you're just the way it's structured, and just with the number of projects and organizations, that really does not become an issue.
No, and I think there's one exception to that, Duncan, and that is, it's also our dream that, let's say, a small organization works with a litigator who works with a big law firm, and the project goes well. Well, that lawyer could wake up and realize, I'm wasting my life by making rich people richer working at this firm, and what I really like to do is work with animals full time. They may turn that volunteer opportunity with the organization into a full time job. And I've seen several attorneys leave big firms realizing that they were wasting, in some ways, is the chance of a lifetime to do some real good in the world with their legal training. And they went to work full time for animal protection organizations, and they're some of the happiest people I know.
No, that's a really neat byproduct that I hadn't really pondered. So that's very cool. So, Carter, we're just sort of nearing the end of our time, but let me at least try to work one call in before we sort of wrap up. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Carter Dillard.
Hello.
Hi, it's you. Go ahead, please.
Oh, okay. I just wondered if they ever work with people in other countries. I'm specifically talking Canada. I understand they wouldn't be able to likely do legal advice, but I'm thinking, again, of logos, PR.
Very good question.
Or
thanks for your call.
Contact for us.
Sure. Great, great question. And you can get in touch through the website at 4feetforward.org. We do work with organizations in other countries. If you go to the website, you'll see that we worked with an organization called Darwin Animal Doctors to set up a veterinary clinic program in the Galapagos Islands. And we'd be happy to help with projects in Canada. Humans are barbaric animals in all countries, so there's opportunity for volunteers to help set that right, and it's not limited to the United States.
And I don't have it in front of me, Carter, but as you're saying this, I'm picturing, I think, another project that was done in I want to say either Mexico or somewhere that was sort of, I think, a spay-neuter related campaign
exactly,
or effort there.
Yeah. Yeah, the Peros Project, which was organized by my sister and Matthew Weber, her husband, that was a free spay-neuter clinic that was done in association with veterinary organizations in the United States that was run for several years in Peru. So our international projects, and I think we'd love to see organizations like ours spring up elsewhere.
Well, we have just pretty much reached the end of our time. Just quickly, just to flip this around a little bit, what about the consultants? I mean, is it the same kind of thing? You just sort of put the word out? In other words, how do you find them? Or maybe more to the point, how do they find you to offer their services?
Sure. I think the easiest way is for us to reach out to firms. The firms like to, whether it's a law firm or accounting firm or media firm, they like to do the work. They like to get the credit for doing the work. And they've already got an infrastructure in place to get the word out to lots of professionals. We can also reach out to professional organizations, trade associations, that sort of thing. And then the conferences. Duncan, it's amazing how the conferences really bring people together. And you find well-intentioned lawyers and accountants and media professionals that come to these conferences are blown away by the fact that we're really living in the medieval ages in terms of how we treat and view animals. They want to change that, and they're eager to volunteer their time. So I'd say those are the main avenues.
Very cool. Well, we have sort of actually gone a little bit beyond our time, but it's just so interesting. So we've been speaking with Carter Dillard from 4 Feet Forward. Again, the website is 4feetforward.org, and there's also a very cool active Facebook page. You can just search for 4 Feet Forward there. So, Carter, thank you so much for making the time to join us on Talking Animals. And again, I don't think it had much trouble expressing how just enthusiastic I am. I just think this is such a cool organization with such a great sort of guiding principle and mission. I just look forward to more and more people sort of availing themselves of your services, and just you guys keep expanding what you do. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Duncan. It's been an honor.
Thanks a lot. Take care now. Let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner with a piece that's featured on the Talking Animals Anniversary Bash CD. This is Jim Gaffigan, whose manager was actually nice enough to give me permission to include this piece on the CD for Fundry Premium. So it's part of a piece called Whales on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
I've been trying to swim a lot, you know. You always hear swimming's the best exercise, but have you seen how fat whales are? And whales, they're like swimming all the time. It's not working, whales. Not working. Whales always kind of sound depressed, don't they? Rejected by eHarmony. My Facebook friends forgot my birthday. Why am I so bad at hide and seek? The fish always find me. Wouldn't it be great if we found out whales were in complete denial about how huge they are? It's mostly water weight. A lot of water weight. Once after a show, someone came up to me and they're like, you know, whales aren't fat, they have a layer of blubber. And I thought calling myself Big Bone was a cop out. Blubber, that's like the opposite of muscle. It goes like muscular, tone, flabby, and then like a mile away is blubber. Fat made a noise, it would be blubber. Damn you, Plankton, you don't even taste good. Plankton, that can't be that high in calories. That's got to be frustrating for some whales. All they eat is plankton. I only eat plankton. You know, the fish are like, and cupcakes. Just plankton sprinkled on pizza. It's mostly water weight.
That was Jim Gaffigan with part of a piece called Whales, featured on the Talking Animals Anniversary Bash CD that we're offering as a special premium for the Summer Fun Drive for a pledge of $80. Earlier in the show, also from the Talking Animals CD, we heard Ronnie Elliott doing a wonderful rendition of One Monkey Don't Stop No Show. Now let's hear another song from the CD, another monkey song, no less. This is our own Scott Elliott, host of the All Souls edition of It's the Music, and Mark Murphy of Talk to Mark singing Monkey Man, joined by the assembled group that morning, meaning Ronnie, Rebecca Pulley, Harry Hayward, Judy Tampa, Gracie Grishup, George Pappas, and Ann Van Atta. It's Monkey Man now on Talking Animals.
All right, Scott. Tell them who this one's for. This one's for all the bouncers.
For the bouncers.
Big.
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 Monkey Man.
Big Monkey Man.
It's no lie, it's no lie.
Tell you, hugging up the Big Monkey Man.
Now I know that, now I understand. You're turning the monkey on me. Now I know that, now I understand. You're turning the monkey on me. Ay, 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 ay.
Tell you, hugging up the Big Monkey Man. Get up the Big Monkey Man.
Break it down now.
Here comes the la-las, really high.
Get your best ball set up.
Here we go.
That was Monkey Man, sung by Scott Elliott and Mark Murphy, joined by the rest of the fabulous crew. It's featured on the Talking Animals Anniversary Bash CD, which again can be yours for an $80 pledge. I'm Duncan Strauss. Time now for Name That Animal Tune. Well, actually, shortly, and we do that, I'll be offering a Talking Animals t-shirt as the prize. We'll get to that just in a moment or two here, but first want to do a little bit of animal news and announcements, starting with happy birthday greetings go out to a dog friend of mine named Monty, who turns 13. Happy birthday, Monty! Also, meant to get this last week, but the co-founder of the Performing Animal Welfare Society and six celebrity supporters are asking Jimmy Fallon to stop featuring wild and exotic animals on The Tonight Show. The letter was prompted by an appearance recently of an Asian elephant named Roxy that smashed fruit on the stage and lifted Fallon with its trunk. Quote, 35 years ago, before I knew any of this, it would have been amusing, Paws president and co-founder Ed Stewart said. The more you know about elephants, the less amusing that kind of thing is. 11 former circus and zoo elephants live at the 2,300-acre Paws Sanctuary. And that letter was not only sung by Seward, but Bob Barker, Kim Basker, Kristen Bauer Van Stratten, Georgia Fox, Ross McCall, and Lily Tomlin. See what happened. So far, there had not been a response from The Tonight Show. More seriously and more locally here, canine parvovirus, a fast-acting, potentially deadly gastrointestinal disease in puppies and adult dogs, is alive and well in Tampa Bay. The Humane Society of Tampa Bay's Health Animal Health Center has seen a significant rise in the number of owned pets infected with the disease and is urging citizens to make sure their pets are vaccinated. Parvovirus most frequently attacks puppies younger than 1 year of age, but unvaccinated adult dogs are also susceptible. And anyways, for more information, you can call the Society's Animal Health Center, 813-870-3304, or go to humanesocietytampa.org for more information. And coming up also, we've got Christmas in July through the auspices of the Animal Coalition of Tampa. There's a special event of this kind Saturday, July 12th, where you're... you and your dog and others can have your picture taken. Benefits ACT. It's best just to call to go to actampa.org and find out more information, or you can call and try to make your arrangements by calling 727-584-5040. Just one more quick reminder, the fabulous Ronnie Elliott, a friend to all animals and certainly to talking animals, will be celebrating his first 50 years in rock and roll this Saturday, July 5th, at Skipper's with a great slew of bands, including topped, of course, by Ronnie himself and the Nationals. So don't miss that. I think now it's time to go into Name That Animal Tune. You are listening to Talking Animals, of course, and this is a giveaway. You do not need to be a WMNF member to join. I mean, to win, though we encourage you to become a member, especially during our membership drive that starts Tuesday. There'll be a prize, a Talking Animals t-shirt, to the first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal song. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ed. A horse is a horse, of course, and no one can talk to a horse, of course, that is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed. Go right to the source and ask the horse, he'll give you the answer that you'll endorse. He's always on a steady course, talk to Mr. Ed. People yakety-yak a streak and waste your time of day, but Mr. Ed will never speak unless he has something to say. A horse is a horse, of course, of course.
I think we got some folks. Let's see who we got here. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. Can you name that animal tune?
Yeah, it's Mr. Ed.
That's right. It's the Mr. Ed theme. A horse is a horse. What is your first name?
My name is Bruce.
Bruce? Okay, well, that was sort of a give me. I hope you'll consider that. I mean, I don't think we can make them any easier than that. But let me come back and get your information, Bruce, and we'll send you off a Talking Animals t-shirt. Thanks for listening. Congratulations.
That is fantastic. I'm very excited.
Thank you. Cool. Thank you. We have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa Community Conscious Radio. I'll be back next Wednesday, July 9th, along with the lovely Laura Taylor, seeking your donations for WMNF on behalf of Talking Animals. Please visit TalkingAnimals.net for details on easy ways to support the show and me before next week and the dazzling array of exclusive thank you gifts we have lined up for those who donate at different levels. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals, kind to others, kind to yourself. This again is WMNF Tampa Community Conscious Radio, Brandon Clearwater, Largo, Weeki Wachee, and beyond. Thanks very much for listening. Hope to hear from you between now and next Wednesday at 9 with support for the show, if at all possible. Otherwise, hope you'll tune in next Wednesday and help us then. Thanks so much.